You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Host TJ McCormick, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Gang, hello, hello, once again, it's me, TJ, talking to you, the world, the lucky you, lucky, lucky, lucky you, it's me, TJ, hi, how are you, it's the world, the TJ McCormick on LATalkRadio.com, welcome to my show, it's me, TJ, yeah, welcome to the show, I'm happy you could join me now, yeah, sorry, my brother said he likes when I do that yesterday, so I do it now. Well, it's Thursday, and it's I tell you what, man. Again, we got the rainy season, and we got the complaining season here in Los Angeles. And right now, I am a happy guy because we're getting this little treat. Oh, boy. Usually this comes around June. We're getting some June gloom here. Oh, absolutely muy delicioso. Fantastic. Really good stuff, man. What was I gonna say? Yeah, the clouds have rolled in from the north, and we've got like this gray, overcast 65-degree day. Oh. It just doesn't get any better than this. It does not get any better than this. Considering this is the trippy part about Los Angeles, by the way. Monday, 101 degrees. Sunday, Monday, 100 and something friggin' degrees. Love it. Anyway, so today, going to be a good show today. As usual, We've got the Todd Fligner, the Fligner Report, coming up in a short while. Not long after that, we will have Middle East expert Alan Katz. Alan Katz is an author and a speaker and an expert, basically, on Israel and Middle Eastern affairs. And I want to talk a little bit with Alan Katz about what's going on with Iran, with the Palestinians, with the Syrians, all the wonderful, you know, usual list of usual suspects there. Because I just think one thing begets another, begets another, begets another. Or rather, one thing sheds a little bit of light on another, on another. What I'm saying is this new administration is starting to set a little bit of a tone here and there. Different things happen in news cycles. They make a big splash, and then they kind of wash away. I think what's important to do is look at them each as individual beads. All right? Now, I'm just making this up on the fly, okay? Here you go. Big time, interesting, talk radio-ish type of the thought here. Look at each story that's generated within news cycles and treat it like a bead. After a while, string them together and see what kind of necklace you got. Right? See what's being tied around your throat. Either you're going to have a necklace or you know, Benoit balls. Okay. Barack, his first phone call as president was to the the Palestinian president, right? His first phone call. There was another thing too in that first day. His first phone call was to the Palestinian, thus and so. I think, wasn't it the first leader that he met? I'm trying to remember that bead. Anyway, interesting bad choice. Another interesting bad choice. Then you know the recent stuff, the bow to the Saudi prince, the glad handing with Hugo Chavez and Daniel Ortega, the verbal grab ass being played with Cuban dictators past and present, the Castro family of dictators. The Castro family, we've been in business for 50-something years. We had 50 years and thousands of executed dissidents. Can't be wrong. The little fumbles here and there, making the statement about disarmament. Meanwhile, you know, on the other side of the globe, there's North Korea's Looney Tune little midget test-firing missiles that could reach potentially Hawaii or Alaska. Anyway, what I want to talk to Alan Katz about, and what I've been thinking about vis-a-vis Israel and the Middle East and terrorism and da da da. Oh, and the other little nuggets too are, you know, again, just looking at not just at Obama but his administration on the whole. Okay. And other little beads that make up this necklace that we're wearing here. Napolitano, our Homeland Security chief, who, God all willing, has numbered days in Washington. Jeez, oh, what an embarrassment. What a friggin' embarrassment. What a train wreck she is. And her statements, the idea of, you know, if Hillary Clinton goes to Mexico and takes the blame for the drug trade and the friggin' half the murders on the border, how does that translate into how we're going to be represented, how our interests and Israel's interests are going to be protected, etc., etc.? Oh, and Rahm Emanuel. This is something I'm sure the Katz is going to be able to comment on. Rahm Emanuel, the White House chief of staff, who has direct lineage, he's a first-generation American. He has family ties, parents both from Israel. He spent a lot of time in Israel in his youth. Talking about two states and all this capitulation to Palestine. So what I'm saying is that I want to talk to somebody like Alan Katz, a Middle East expert, and see what how all this comes together, how this mosaic of rhetoric and policy and you know, how does he think this is all going to translate into us looking out for our best interests? Oh, and also all of the memo gate and all this stuff with you know, Abu Ghraib and waterboarding and all that. Yeah, that's my wonder right now is what do we think is the big picture down a road? How do all these things translate into how we're going to be represented by our State Department, by our envoys to the Middle East? Where exactly is Obama and his administration? Where are they going to draw the line in terms of what is criminal act? Oh, and with the pirates too. Again, with the pirates and all that. Again, this more stuff now. Are we going to start? Are we going to have we? You know, we don't call it terrorism anymore. It's overseas something objective. We don't use terrorism anymore. 9/11 under Janet Napolitano would be called a man caused disaster. How does all of this add up down the road, a year from now, 2 years from now? How does this add up? How does this all manifest itself in the first crisis that we know we're going to face? You know? I don't know. Anyway, let's see. So, yes, a little bit from now, we will have Alan Katz right here on latalkradio.com. By the way, the number is 323-203-0815. Gary Condit goes on Larry King, and it's softballs. Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, you name your Democrat, you name your lefty, they go on Larry King or any other CNN, and they're gonna get softball. They're gonna get snowballs. They're gonna get not a snowball like a snow. I'm talking like a Hostess snowball. They're gonna get marshmallow wrapped around chocolate covered with coconut, and he'd probably remove the coconut for fear of maybe scratching a cornea. The friggin' wiffle balls. Yeah, he didn't even make a wiffle ball. He makes little tiny balls out of he makes balls out of toilet paper, tissue paper balls. He throws at any and all Democrats, liberals, Gary Condit with blood on his hands. And by the way, don't he ain't off the friggin' hook? That guy they finally got. He did it for him. Come on, you know it. But a 19-year-old whatever kid, a 20-something-year-old kid who impregnated the bane of every lefty's existence, Sarah Palin's daughter, goes on Larry King. And Larry King asks this kid, Sister King. King says to him, Where was? Let's see who's on the phone. Who is this? Hello, you're on the air.
Well, good day, Mr. McCormick, sir.
Hey there, Todd Fligner. All right, now we are cooking with gas, everybody. Once again, here we go. As happens every single Thursday, we are blessed every single Thursday to have a very interesting man, a very sexy man, a man who is very, very Orange County-ish, a beach bum, an entrepreneur, a filmmaker, an activist, a porn producer. Oh, my God, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Todd Fligner Report. How are you there, Todd?
Well, you know, we use the word adult. Porn kind of was left back in the days of, you know, Ed Meese and Ronald Reagan.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's true. You're an adult filmmaker, a man who makes adult films that make you think.
Well, no, I make movies with adult themes.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'll buy that too. And above all that, you're a political activist. You're a community organizer. You are all things Fligner
Todd Fligner.
Well, let me tell you what else I am a connoisseur of, and then we'll get to the subjects of the day here.
Yeah.
I am a food connoisseur, as you
know. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. You love a good tuna melt?
I love a good tuna melt. Well, Ted's place and Laguna Niguel, but I got to tell you, when you want to put some long pants on and some songs and head over to Outback at Laguna Hills, they have what's called the Blooming Onion Burger.
Ooh.
Now, you know, I am a burger nut.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the Blooming Onion Burger is at the top of the list worldwide as far as burgers go. And one other thing about Outback, they make you feel like it's your restaurant.
Really?
In other words, you go to these places now, and you feel like you're in a concentration camp. That you're doing them a favor by spending your hard-earned money with these morons.
Right.
And, okay, I was at Nate and Al's this weekend and the police came, but that's for another day. I'll just tell you this. And Nate and Al's, by the way, is a deli in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm very careful where I go, where I eat, and the people I'm around. And Outback kicks butt.
Yeah.
And God bless Outback. And I want to just say...
Yeah.
Susan Boyle, by the way, the girl who has the best singing voice in the world. She won the American Idol of England competition. What's the name of that show?
I think it's either The X Factor or Britain's Got Talent. I think it's called Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah, and it's the Simon Crow show over there.
Yeah.
This girl can sing, and now... She's being ridiculed because an adult company wants to pay her $1 million to do a nude scene.
Wow.
And they're putting her down for being ugly. And I have to say that with a first lady, Michelle Obama, who looks post-op transvestite, and we have to look at her mug for 4 years, I'm going to pay $20 to see Susan Boyle naked.
What? Ooh, really?
We all will. Come on now.
Wow, that's a stretch.
Come on now. And then one of our wonderful libraries out here tried to censor the internet, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the court shot him down.
Uh-huh.
And however, there is a disclosure now where you have to, where they have to tell the kids you don't go on adult sites, of course. I wonder where they do go. And Hillary, of course, is warning us now about Pakistan.
Yeah, suddenly,
you know, as kids growing up during Vietnam, you and I, you know, we realized that Vietnam was way the hell away. Well, let me tell you, if you thought Vietnam was far, Pakistan is like another planet.
Right.
And, you know, Hillary, we all know, dresses up as a man at home.
Uh-huh.
And we all know that she, you know, deep down is a man. And she takes male hormones and injections. And but you know, Hillary, if you want to have a war in Pakistan, you and Slick Willie and his brother, the ex-cocaine trafficker, what's Bill Clinton's brother, Roger?
Yeah, Roger Clinton.
Why don't you guys take Chelsea and one of her rich boyfriends, why don't you all go to Pakistan and fight the war? Because you know what? We ain't going to Pakistan.
No.
So there you are. It's a wonderful day out here in California. It's a little cloudy.
Yeah. A nice little June gloom in April. I'm very grateful for it. I love it.
I love the good. You know, we had two hot days of hell out here for your audience outside of California. It was over 100 degrees.
Yeah. No, it was awful. It was absolutely awful. Sunday and Monday, it was unbearable, absolutely unbearable. And just really just unbearable, awful. Today we are getting a nice little dose of, like I said, June gloom in April. You know, this was interesting, Todd. Once again, Todd Fligner. You guys can all get in touch with Todd at Todd Fligner, all one word, Todd Fligner at Yahoo.com. Todd Fligner at Yahoo.com. You can also go to Amazon.com and search Todd Fligner, and you can also go to TrueShockingDVDs.com and find any and all films, including the most recent Kobe Bryant gangster movie. And the my personal favorite is the of course the Martha Stewart. What's the name of that? The prison movie? Is that what you called it? Todd? Hello. Oh, well, now that's embarrassing. Well, now that's embarrassing. Todd's gonna have to. Hello. Hola. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure Todd will call back in just 1 second. There you go. It's professional radio, ladies and gentlemen. It's what happens when you're live and on the air. And just anything can happen. Yeah, absolutely. Anything can happen when you're live and on the air. We had a couple of things I wanted to talk to Todd about, by the way. Where the heck did he go? Well, things happened with cell phone signals, ladies and gentlemen, in this day and age. I know he's going to call back as soon as I get into this, but I'll just go back to where I was a few minutes ago. So here's the kid. Here's the Palin kid. The guy who got the Palin kid pregnant. Here we go. All right, he's resurfaced. All right, there, Todd. We're back cooking here.
Well, we could put Hillary in Pakistan, but we can't keep a phone call going. Go figure that out.
Hey, you know, I wanted to talk to you about a couple of interesting things that evidently are going down. One of them in particular, where'd it go? I had a very, very interesting. Oh, yes, here they are. Up in Silicon Valley. The city council in Silicon Valley, in San Jose in particular, has voted against installing. Now, this is interesting now, okay, because now Todd is a man who makes films with adult themes and adult content that make you think. He's made films that push the envelope for years and years and years and years. At the same time, and you'll notice this if you're a regular listener, Todd, and it's ToddFligner@yahoo.com, where he's probably checking his BlackBerry from the Outback Steakhouse.
Actually, Outback doesn't open until 4. That's where we crash during the evening. But daytime, we're at Ted's place in Laguna Niguel, and I'm about to have a tuna melt.
Oh, having that tuna melt.
And no, Hillary Clinton, you can't have any of my tuna melt.
Nah, you dirty bastard. Look at you working that line, working that angle in as Todd Fligner's persistent, too. So this is where it gets interesting when you're talking to a guy like Todd Fligner, who is a bit of a paradox in some regards. Although actually I don't think so. I think it's very consistent to be a conservative, oddly enough, and do things of an adult nature from time to time. So anyway, let me get to the story. The Mercury News of San Jose reports that they have voted against installing pornography filters on computers at the city's libraries. The alternate plan said the city should spend more for expanded library hours and crossing guards and sex crime detectives. Installing filters in children's areas would cost an estimated $90,000 and about $5,000 a year to maintain. So my question is, and this is where the interesting paradox arises, is A, you're a free speech First Amendment guy, yet at the same time you're a man with very, very conservative tendencies and values. Do you agree that? Do you think that they should install porn filters on children on computers in the city's libraries, or should internet access be unfettered in a public forum like that?
Well, the way we handle it is you have to be 18 and have a credit card to see any pictures that are not, you know, that are adult material.
Sure.
Period. Bottom
sure.
line, that determines age. And if the kid steals the credit card, well, so be it. We've done what we can. Mm-hmm. I believe the sites themselves need to adhere to those guidelines, and they're not now. So if the kid's at home, he could still access those sites. without using a credit card, and I think that's probably what needs to be regulated. Now, as far as the library spending money, at least they're thinking up there in San Jose. It is the computer capital brains of the world, and we do have some thinkers there.
Right.
And there aren't too many in California. Of course, Orange County has thinkers, but, you know, mainly we're, you know, we don't think. Just look at who our governor is. I mean, come on.
Right, right. Yeah, 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 yeah.
He's a bad actor.
Yeah.
He's a bad actor.
A very bad actor.
He is a bad actor. I think the San Jose City Council made the right decision. That $90,000 for crossing guards and longer library hours, now that's money well spent. Finally, yeah. People are thinking.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. I don't care if it's student council, if it's local government, city, state, federal. We need thinkers again.
Yeah.
And that's why I think you need to run for Senator McCormick.
One of these days, I tell you what.
Why not? You'll make them laugh.
Yeah,
LA Talk Radio, .com rocks. You know, we're becoming number one internet radio in the world.
It's huge. Hey, when are you going to come up here and actually come into the studio? I would love this. This is what I would love. I would love for Todd Fligner to here's a way. You're a foodie. You are a foodie, and I think I have a way to lure you north of the border. Here it is. About two doors down from us here is what I believe to be the best, and it doesn't take much to be the best, but they are the best pizza in Los Angeles. It's a new place, and they use a recipe for their sauce and their dough. It's an East Coast recipe. Pizza's on me. And
right.
I would love to have Todd Fligner and your choice of anyone. It would be great for you to bring one of your ingenues, one of your up and coming actresses, one of your it girls, you know, and because you do have some of the most beautiful women in your films that I've ever seen in that
you.
Genre. I mean, really, they're natural too.
I appreciate that. You know, we've won awards, and
yeah.
I have a good eye for beauty.
Yeah.
And an ear for politics.
Yeah, no, for sure. And a palate for fine food.
I love fine food.
Oh, yeah.
I want to try this pizza place.
Yeah, so there you go.
Do they have draft beer?
You know what? I think that, you know what, they're new, so they're still working on their wine and liquor, on their beer and, beer and wine. Yeah. That's fine. We'll BYO.
Honey wagon, and for your audience that doesn't know what a honey wagon is, when rich people like McCormick and Fligner go places, we have our own trailer. Trailer with kegs and Perrier and Evian and massages. And, you know, it's great being in show business.
Yeah,
you know?
It's great being in show business and a neocon at the same time.
Oh, God bless craft services, man. You know. The key grips from Rhodesia.
Yeah.
I don't think they call it Rhodesia. They call it Zimbabwe now.
Right. Right.
And
yeah,
I think Washington, D.C. is becoming Zimbabwe. You know, what can we say?
So,
he's in the White House now, a Kenyan.
We
have a Kenyan president.
We
can
do.
You believe that? We have a president from Kenya.
Do you think?
The United States is from Kenya. God bless him.
Yeah.
And, you know, you wish him well,
mm-hmm.
and you hope he can do well. You hope he puts smart people around him. So far, he hasn't.
Yeah. What do you think about Napolitano? What do you think about our Secretary of Homeland Security? What do you think about Janet Napolitano putting her foot in the mouth left and right and left and right? Oh, my God.
Well, she needs to change her name, number one. It's a horrible name, Napolitano.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Change your name to Napo. You know, Nap. Janet Knapp.
Janet
That's
Knapp.
Cool name. That should kick some butt.
Yeah.
No, we need a, you know what, in the old days, I would say, let's get a five-star general as Homeland Security, but they're wimping out now.
Yeah.
You know, West Point in Annapolis, it's not the old days there anymore.
You're right.
And the enemy, unfortunately, I think is within.
Mm-hmm.
We're becoming a socialist country. And again, for rich people in the entertainment industry, like McCormick and Fligner and Clint Eastwood and Steven Spielberg, we're going to be okay.
Uh-huh.
But it's for the 90% of Americans that aren't going to be okay.
Right.
And, you know, history will look back at November 5th, 2008, at the day we elected a Kenyan national
uh-huh.
as president of the United States of America.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes. In the meantime, me and you make people laugh.
Yeah.
And great restaurants like the Pizza Parlor. What's its name?
It's called the Arb. A-R-B. It's named after an arboretum where this guy came from, the owner of the joint.
Okay.
It's called the Arb, the Arb Pizza Cafe. And they use recipes for their sauce and their dough are basically were smuggled 3,000 miles west. And
gotcha.
They're amazing.
My kind of place, by the way. My kind of place.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fantastic. And once again, which is your home, Outback? Which one is yours?
Outback's at nighttime.
Yeah.
Ted's place is during the day.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, the days of great radio are limited.
Yeah.
That's when your show's going to become huge.
Yes.
Great restaurants are hard to find. And it's not about the cost. You know, Outback gives you what you get at Mastro, but you don't get all the pomp and circumstance.
Right. You know, actually, tell me something. You made a great statement to start off. Tell me, what is it about the experience at your Outback that... That makes it feel like it's your own restaurant. How is it that?
Well, first of all, they remember your name.
Ah, boom! That's big right there.
Everyone remembers your name. The people that you don't even remember talking to remember your name. And I don't mean a guy like Todd Fligger or T.J. McCormick. Guys like us stand out. I just mean like your average Joes and guests. They remember your name, and you can get loud sometimes because it's the Australian style of serving people.
Uh-huh.
And let's face it, in Australia, they're known for great food, great women, great beer.
Mm-hmm.
And they get loud in Australia. And I think people need to feel comfortable that you could be yourself. Obviously, you're not going to climb on your neighbor's table and, you know, squish their ribeye.
No.
She better be damn good looking to squish my ribeye.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, that's a loaded little phrase right there. Squish my ribeye.
That was not prepared. But it just makes you feel like you're at a New York steakhouse, right?
Yeah,
we're in New York, you're in Manhattan, you're in Brooklyn, you're in Queens, you're in the Bronx. If you go to a nice little steakhouse, feel it. You know, the thing is, Outback's a chain, but it's family. You feel family.
Yeah.
People remember you at Cheesecake Factory. You know, they hand you a pager.
Yeah.
And they tell you to go wait out. So, you know what I do with that pager?
I give you
my own little pager.
Yeah.
Okay? And it vibrates, okay? Just like their pager.
Yeah, there you go.
Come on. Imagine 20 years ago telling your kids, hey, we're going to go out. If we have to wait in line, they're going to give us a little vibrating machine.
Yeah.
And it's really big, too, because they're afraid you're going to steal it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Steal their vibrating pager.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. The big, ridiculous
mechanism. You buy me a beer while I'm waiting.
Yeah, yeah, how about that? Yeah, how about walk around
By the way, hold on. Do you know that's against the law here in California? We have such wonderful laws here in California. I wonder why people want to leave.
Yeah.
Is that a restaurant owner cannot buy his patron an alcoholic beverage.
Really?
It's against the law.
That's restaurant ownership 101. That's hospitality 101 in New York.
Can't do it. Now, nice people send you over a salad or, you know, tuna melt or something, you know, if they like you.
Yeah.
Appetizer.
Right.
But I mean, just think, this is where we're coming as a society, overregulated, taking more of our dough.
Right.
And for you and I to drop an extra few bucks, no big deal. But for the average hardworking American, hey, what are all those auto workers going to do for work? What are they all going to do for work?
Yeah.
What are all the Americans that have worked for years here at factories, at businesses? What, you know, I called one of my credit card companies. I'm not kidding. The gal was in India.
Uh-huh. Right.
And she's asking me personal information
about.
And I said, excuse me, man, where are you? She said, well, we're in India, you know, the country, right, next to Pakistan.
Yeah, right.
And she's asking me private information over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about identity theft.
Right.
India is the leading country of identity theft. And I wonder why, because American Express, Bank of America, card services, Wells Fargo, they all want to farm their calling center. See, what can Americans do? They can answer phones. Uh-huh. They can type in account numbers. These are jobs that should remain here in America. No, they go to India where they steal our information, they pirate our names, and they commit identity theft. That's what's going on. Bring the jobs home. Hey, do you think Barack Obama's going to do that?
Yeah, right.
I'll buy Barack a Ted's burger, a Blooming Onion burger from Outback if he does anything right.
Well, I tell you,
I hope to turn on the news. I pray for this guy. We have prayer sessions for this guy.
What's he doing? I don't know.
He shakes Venezuela's hand.
Yeah.
After he bows
to the Saudi prince.
Yeah, after he bows, and remember, we got a lot of kids listening now, so I have to use my language. Kisses his rear end. Okay, just kisses his rear end. And this guy, you know, one thing George Bush would have done is he'd have walked over and just whacked Hugo Chavez right in the foot.
Yep.
Just knock his nose right off. What, are they going to arrest the President of the United States? Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Right.
And get on Marine One and get over to Air Force One and get the hell out of Central America. You shouldn't be there in the first place.
Amen.
Barack Obama has traveled more than any president in his first 100 days.
Yeah.
Doesn't he remember we have poverty in America? No, let's forget. He was born in Kenya. He grew up in Hawaii. He went to private school. He went to Occidental, which is a private college. He went to Columbia with a bunch of dope-smoking liberals.
Right.
And then he went on to Harvard with a bunch of gay Kennedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what else can you say?
People
say, what do you mean gay Kennedys? Robert Kennedy, he had 12 kids and 5 boyfriends. Robert Kennedy had sex with anyone that moved.
Really? Wait, is that fast enough
at the Ambassador Hotel, did he?
Is that? Oh, God forbid. Oh, God have mercy. Did he? Are there rumors that Bobby Kennedy was gay? Is that true?
Of course he was gay.
Really?
Part of Kennedy.
Really? It's part
of
him.
The Kennedy women gay? Look at them.
Well, that's true. They do look more like their fathers. Yeah, they look more like their fathers than their mothers.
God.
Yeah, they're some rough looking. Yeah, they are definitely some rough looking broads, those Kennedy girls.
If Bobby Kennedy moved either direction, bi-coastal, switch hitter, lighten the tennis shoes, you know, whatever you want to call it. And that's okay, and he probably still would have voted yes on 8. He probably would have come out and said, marriage should be between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
And what do you think of that poor Miss California?
I tell you
that
what.
That beautiful gal who said that marriage should be. And who's this Perez Hilton? When's somebody going to knock him in the nose?
I don't know. Yeah, he's really a tired act. And you know.
He's tired act? He's dead and buried, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he should be.
Perez Hilton.
Yeah.
Is he related to Paris Hilton?
Yeah, no, well, that's the thing. He took her name in that you know, blogosphere gay way of doing things. And so he's got this, like, unbelievably... If he sold his website, it would be millions of dollars, his PerezHilton.com. God forbid I should plug it. The guy is, you know, he's a walking cliche, and they had him judging I'm stunned that Donald Trump, of all people, would be in business with somebody like Perez Hilton, because Donald Trump owns the Miss USA and Miss Universe.
I got to ask you a question here. No offense, because we all have gay people in our own family, and that's not the issue. However, how could a gay man judge a woman's beauty?
You know,
it's impossible. Wake up, people.
Can't do it.
You gotta like women.
Yeah.
To judge a woman. That's why they get nasty.
That's true.
Mean,
Yeah. Oh, God.
Remember when we were in school, the gay guy always got beat up? Remember that? Because he always got in your face. And finally, boom, you had to just knock him out.
Yeah.
And that was like Perez Hilton. I'm sure everyone kicked his ass in high school. Maybe someone needs to kick his ass again here.
Yeah.
Perez Hilton judging Miss America. And Donald Trump is over. Donald Trump needs to shave.
Hello, I'm Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Look at that. That's so
By
funny.
The way, breaking news.
Oh, yeah.
This comes from Donald Trump's former inner bodyguard. Okay, Jewish guy. All right.
Okay.
Ex-Israeli military guy.
Right. Okay. Right? A Mossad guy.
You know, if I'm lying, Trump will sue me. Okay?
Right.
Trump shaves his body.
What?
Donald Trump shaves his pubic hairs. Donald Trump shaves his rectal hairs.
What?
And he shaves his chest hairs and arm hairs. Yes. Donald Trump shaves his body.
And yet he has all that going on the top of his head.
Shave the top, Donald, and forget the pubic hairs, okay,
what?
Buddy? I don't care how much dough you have. You look
what?
Like a schmuck.
Is this just
people
some,
are laughing at
is
you.
Is this just some little predilection he has? Is this just some little, or is it does he have some kind of, is it a cleanliness thing or a vanity thing? What
well, he doesn't heck? Like people to shake his hand.
No.
You know what I do if I go up to someone who doesn't want to shake my hand? I sneeze on him.
Ah, I like that.
I mean, I push the board. I think your audience knows that we push the limits here at LATalkRadio.com.
Of course, absolutely.
And that we push the limits, and radio is changing so fast that your show, you know, people are going to go, Howard who?
Right.
Howard who?
Right.
Oh, the guy that farts in the radio station? That's what he'll be remembered for. It's Fartman.
Right, yeah.
Howard Stern has no social redeeming value.
Right.
He has no purpose.
Right.
He's boring. He really is a boring guy. He was fun up until about the time Sam Kinison died, our good old buddy doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Remember Sam?
Oh, God, yeah. Just the biggest, the strongest presence maybe ever on a stage, ever.
The strongest presence. Quick Sam Kinison story, then it's time to roll here. I'm at Bud Freeman's Improv.
Uh-huh.
In Hollywood on Melrose. You know Bud Freeman.
Sure.
And it's a Sunday night. It's kind of busy, and I'm in the restroom. You know, I'm going up doing my gig. This is back in 81.
Uh-huh.
And in comes Sam Kinison, and he goes, put your foot against the door. Put your foot against the door. Okay, Sam. Bolt the door. And, of course, Sam proceeded to, you know, do what most stand-up comedians did in 1981. And I, you know, of course, debolted the door and went out and did my gig.
Wow.
Sam was great, man. I encourage everyone to Google Sam Kinison and YouTube him and watch some of his stand-up.
Oh, yeah. You want to see
ether.
Funny. Yeah.
He was ether.
Yeah. You want to see funny. You want to see intense and no fear. That guy had no fear. Whatsoever. None. No fear. And really, it left it all on the stage. And that guy, you know, he never came off stage with you thinking, you know, he really wasn't very present. You know, he really didn't try tonight. Oh, my God. He was the most intense. Oh, he was. Oh, boy. What a friggin' loss. They the great ones always go too soon. The great ones always.
Yeah, and you
go
and
too
I'll
soon.
Be around till we're in our 90s. You know, we're still counting our millions. We
exactly.
can't complain.
Nah, I can't complain about none.
You know, you don't need the money. I don't need the money.
Well,
we just do it. We make people laugh. We want to make them think because, let's face it, the best teachers we remember in school were those that made us think and made us laugh. And, you know, we're here to teach the world, educate them, help them out. And make them laugh. And if we could do that every day, you know, how many more millions do we need?
Wow. Perfect. You're right.
And show them some good, beautiful, visual thinking material.
Yeah. Well,
very
look
important.
At you. Wow. You know what? On that unbelievable note, I am going to say... we'll see each other next Thursday, and we have to establish which week you're going to come on up here and have lunch with me and do the show and bring one of your starlets with you, and we get together and do a live show together, a whole two-hour production. That'd be real fun.
Actually, I think I'm going to bring a brand new spanking starlet. I'll give you her first name is Amanda.
All right.
We call her Amanda. She is a 10.
Uh-huh.
She is absolutely beautiful.
Wonderful.
And just a talented actress. Uh-huh. And what I'll do is I'll have my security detail talk to your security detail. We'll plan coming up there and having some pizza and beer.
Smoking idea. That's perfect, brother. Everybody, right now I want you to go and email Todd Fligner at yahoo.com. I want you to go to Amazon.com. and search Todd Fligner. Go to TrueShockingDVDs.com. And also, if you're ever down there in Laguna Niguel, go and check out Ted's place. And maybe in the evening, down around that way, you'll bump into Todd at the Outback Steakhouse as he's trying to wrap his mouth around a what was it? The Blooming Onion Burger. Oh, that sounds so damn good.
Tonight, I'm probably going to go back to the teriyaki ribeye.
Ah,
oh man, I love good food. You know, I run marathons, so I stay in shape. I eat well. I party hard.
Right.
And I love America, and I love this country, and I love the listeners of LATalkRadio.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you guys and gals rock.
Thanks, pal. Thank you, man. I look forward to next Thursday. Let's be in touch in the meantime, all right?
Peace out.
Peace out, baby. There goes a great friend of the show and a really interesting cat. There goes Todd Fligner. Todd Fligner at Yahoo.com. Go check him out. Go say hi and let him know you heard him here. And he's an interesting cat. Yeah, good stuff there. Good stuff. I do want him to come up here because I got to get an eyeball on him. It'd be interesting to sit across the table from Todd Fligner. You know, interesting guy. Very interesting guy. Anyway, so here we go. I'm going to get back to that. I'm going to get back to that stuff I was talking about with Larry King in just a few moments. Let's just see what we're going to talk about. Talk a little bit more about Larry King. Coming up in a few minutes, by the way, once again, Alan Katz, Middle East expert and author and lecturer. Alan Katz will be here. We're going to talk about this administration from the State Department right on up to the executive branch, to the White House. And how the Democrat House and Senate, how all that's going to translate as we now are wrapping up these first 100 days of this administration. How have all these little nuggets, how are they all going to add up? How are they going to string together and manifest a foreign policy? How are things going to be handled vis-a-vis Israel, terrorism, now Pakistan, North Korea? But most specifically, one of our strongest, if not our greatest ally, definitely in the Middle East, obviously. But Israel, how does it all affect Israel? And really, but us and everything, you know, Israel without us is really in the shits. Actually, no, they're really not in the shits without us. Actually, quite to be honest with you, I think they'd both be sleeping a little bit better tonight if they were just allowed to do what the hell they want to do. And that's you know, even during 8 years of Bush, we asked them to restrain themselves. Imagine what this administration is going to ask them to do. Anyway, it's me, TJ, talking to you the world. It's the world of TJ McCormick on LATalkRadio.com. Don't go nowhere. I shall return instantaneously.
The home for entertaining, irreverent, and cool talk is right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to the world of TJ McCormick. With your funny host, TJ McCormick, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Love it.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Minding my own business, this voice comes out of nowhere, puts me on the spot. Says, don't you claim that ignorance is bliss. Put your cards on the table, show us what you got. I try to be honest, not act the diplomat. Stumbling, mumbling something about different points of view. Come on, it's said, you can do better than that. Okay, I say, I'll see what I can do. Oh, let me paint you a picture. Streets paved with gold. Let me float ideas to entertain. Let me fly in the face of all you're told. And we'll see if we'll be right. Hardship and strife, making leaps and bounds, but never getting very far. It's a matter of course, and it's a fact of life. The smarter we get, the more stupid we are. Laying the message, nobody cares. Wouldn't mind getting some peace and quiet. So hang a sign that says, closed for repairs. Then as a start, let imagination run riot. Oh, let me paint you a picture. Streets paved with gold. Let me float ideas to entertain. Let me fly in the face of all you're told. And we'll see if we'll be right and brave. Most get by. Do no more than necessary. Marked by indifference. Adopt the usual line. Zip out of their depths to offer social commentary. Saying, I see the problem, but who made it mine? This will go on until our faith is restored. There's a lot of work to do just to tie up loose ends. How about we go back to the drawing board?
To be a pirate. Oh, running away. I am. Dear mommy and daddy, I am running away. Dear mommy and daddy, I am running away. I am sorry, but I can no longer handle the monotony of middle class life. Everyone at school is a
fucking
idiot.
Why is this repeating itself?
And if one more person talked to me about that Susan Boyle performance of Les Miserables, I was going to puke my balls out through my mouth. I love you all, but I have to move on. I'm going to Somalia to be a pirate. Oh, shit.
Oh, Gerald, what are we gonna do?
It's all right. He couldn't have gone far. Let's call the other kids' houses.
Oh, God. What have I done?
Boy, that Susan Boyle, she's tough to look at, ain't she? Oy vey, vey's mir. Good Lord. But she is good. You must have seen that, right? Everybody's seen that. So, yeah. Hey, by the way, hi, it's me, TJ, talking to you, the world. It's the world of TJ McCormick here on LATalkRadio.com and Channel 1. And interesting photo essay here on Time.com of Obama's first 100 days. I got a real hard time buying it, some of it. I don't know. Of all the most politician-y politicians, you follow. Of the most, Joe Biden, he is the top. He is the most politician-y politician of all the politicians I've ever seen politic. In politics, that is. I mean, oh my God. It's just amazing. That I don't. The president often palms a football or basketball while thinking or during breaks between meetings with staff. I don't buy it. I mean, I kind of buy that, yeah. I just don't know. Anyway, so, so a couple of interesting thingamajigs here that I'm just finding around the internet that I kind of want to talk about. First of all, yeah, so there goes disgusting, dirty Larry King, a dirty old man, asking the kid where, again, now if this was any other if this was some kind of scandal that involved a Democrat or liberal, whatever, you know. A, they wouldn't, you know, they probably wouldn't be on TV talking about it. But B, if they were, and if they were on CNN especially, not only would this question not have been asked, but if for some insane reason it was, and I say the insane reason is actually Larry King himself, who's just friggin' decrepit and borderline, he's just borderline friggin' dementia, this guy. Demented. This question would just never, ever, ever, ever be posed to any other, you know, if this was connected in any way to anything Democrat or liberal, you know what I'm saying. He asked the kid where the sex took place. Let me just get the exact quote here. The exact quote is, where did sex occur in their house? Where did sex occur in their house? The dirty old bastard. Can these people, you know what, man? The corpse is cold now. She's buried. She's gone. You did your work, okay? You tore her apart. You humiliated her. Look at what we're doing. We're talking to, this is why CNN is no longer a player. This is why CNN is as dead and buried as, unfortunately and sadly, Sarah Palin. This is why. Because CNN is so hell-bent on spoon-feeding the liberal sheep that watch that godforsaken Fakakta network. They're so hell-bent on doing what it is that they want to do on the Upper West Side and here in the hills and the west side of Los Angeles. They're so friggin' hell-bent. It's disgusting what the media did to this woman and her family. Absolutely disgusting. And you know, I'll be honest with you. I have actually toyed with, I've contemplated the thought of maybe stepping out there. And, we've all got skeletons. I don't really necessarily have skeletons, but you know what? I got stuff that's mine that wouldn't make any difference to anything. Well, actually, it probably would. It would probably be for the positive if I talked about it. But, honestly, I have really kind of contemplated public office. I've thought about it. And when you see what they did to Sarah Palin and her family, when you see what they did to a non... This guy was, I mean, as private a citizen as you can get. Look, man, when the administration picks on Rush Limbaugh, for example, that bothers me because he is a working man. He's a private citizen. All right, now get what I'm saying. He's not in public office. He may be a public person. He may be a public figure. Okay? But look, I do the same thing Rush Limbaugh does. Am I within light years of that? Am I within 8 billion light years of this guy? No, not right now. But I do the same thing he does. I am a private citizen. I'm on this side of celebrity. He's way on the other side of celebrity. But he's just it. There is no difference in what the two of us do in terms of actually doing it, all right? There's no difference. I'm getting better at it. He's the best. I'm getting better. But you know what I'm saying? Functionally. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? Literally, there's no difference in what we do. Matter of fact, dare I say, I'm more public than him because of the other stuff I do in terms of stand-up and in terms of television stuff. You know, I mean, I'm out there, like, in the public, you know, whatever. Maybe, whatever, that's it, maybe. When public officials, and it's nothing, look, it's one thing, they're not supposed to ignore Rush Limbaugh. But when they make comments about his addictions, when they make comments that are just pure insulting comments, like, you know, about him being fat and a donut eating pill popping, he's a private citizen. You want to debate him on the issues? Absolutely. Anyway, how dare the people at Saturday Night Live, how dare Katie Couric, the rest of the media, how dare they? When it gets to the point of this woman's family, her kid, her daughter, you think, you know, these are supposed to be people with altruistic motives. These are supposed to be those inclusive, tolerant, wonderful, homeopathic, state-of-the-art, streamlined, wonderful, touchy-feely, crunchy, granola, son-of-a-bitch bastards is what they are. And this is how they treat people? Goes on the friggin' on Larry King and he asks, where did sex happen in the house? The beautiful thing that happened, the beautiful moment, was here's this kid, Levi Johnston. Quote, you know, Larry, that I'm a gentleman, you know, and I don't, you know, kiss and tell. So, you know, I don't think that really matters. I mean, and how about the part, though, that, well, first you said that you practice safe sex most of the time, right? Right. Most of the time. Son of a bitch. You dirty old mother. I really, you know what? I'm going to start going on Nate Nows just so I can bump into this old fakakta bastard. And just once give him a piece of my mind. You got to see me sometimes in this friggin' town. You got to see me biting my tongue. Here in the People's Republic of Los Angeles, some of my most hated celebrities I will see. Went to the Cheesecake Factory. Oh, God, I love the Cheesecake Factory. I know they give you the big vibe. I know Todd was, you know, he's right. It's a big impersonal place, but Jesus, Mary and Joseph, that Da Vinci, that pasta Da Vinci. Ooh, we may have to do that tonight. That pasta Da Vinci is, in fact, something. I'm at the Cheesecake Factory, and we're walking to our table, and as we're walking to our table, I And what was I going to say? So I'm walking past. There he is. I walk past Ed Asner. Okay, there's Edward Asner. I mean, talk about somebody who just literally he's left over from the McCarthy era, and he's going to be a big apologist for every, you know, American-hating union, you know, piece of garbage in this town. And honestly, you know what? It is not rhetoric, by the way, to say that there are people that hate America. Because let me ask you this. If it's possible to love America, how come that's not rhetoric to say that someone loves America? And yet it's immediately discounted, slighted, you know, whatever. It's dismissed as rhetoric and hate speech and all that other BS. You dig? It's rhetoric. I don't know. Anyway, he's one of them. He's hating America is, you know. So I see him. Who did I see one time? Oh, Rob Reiner. Oh God, you got to see me biting my lip. My wife Andy grabs me by the elbow. She'll grab me by the elbow because she knows I want to just. Now there are some that drive me nuts, but I respect. Every once in a while, here in Studio City, I've bumped into Ed Begley Jr. 24 times. You know, many times I've bumped into him at the bank. We go to the same bank. On the corner. I mean, I always see him either on his bike or in his electric car. You know, whatever. And it's always interesting. But I've told him. What am I talking about? I've been here for 10 years now. I actually happened one time where I told him I shook his hand. I put my hand out, I shook his hand, and I said, "You drive me nuts. I completely disagree with you." I said, "But I respect you a lot." You know, I said, "I respect you," because he actually walks the walk. It's so easy to talk the talk. He walks the walk. And along those lines, allow me to venture this way. This is from the CBS News Political Hot Sheet by Mark Noller. Yesterday, Earth Day. Excuse me. it should be a cackle because it's such a friggin' farce. Here is yet another example of just how much of a farce Earth Day and so many of their supporters make it. Actually, Earth Day is not this farce. I agree. Go find me a conservative who really wants some murky water. Go find me a conservative who wants filthy air. Stop with the friggin'. You want to find rhetoric? Go to the left. You want to find rhetoric? Go to the left. Because it's stupid. It is rhetoric. It's rhetorical to talk about. Anybody want the, just trying to insinuate that somebody on the right doesn't care about the environment, doesn't want the, it's the means, the methods by which, the tactics used. You know, again, fear and hate and divisiveness is not the sole purvey of the right. Matter of fact, it lives, its home, its headquarters is the left. You understand? There are kids having nightmares about the world ending. About the earth blowing up, about polar bears drowning, all this. Yesterday, Barack Obama flew 895 miles there, 895 miles back to Des Moines, Iowa. He flew from Washington to Des Moines, Iowa. on his 747 on the famous Air Force One. The Air Force One burns about 5 gallons of fuel per mile. 895. So, round trip, it was 8,950 gallons. That was just for Air Force One. He also burned a bunch on Marine One, the helicopters. All totaled, yesterday, in over the course of a few hours, Barack Obama, black green president, burned 9,116 gallons of fuel. 9,116 gallons of fuel. 9,116 gallons of fuel. To make a speech. To talk. He could have made a statement about Earth Day. He could have made a statement about Earth Day because he made the speech from a plant where they build wind turbines. He went there to say words in the year 2009. He jumped on his plane, flew 1,700 miles, burned nearly 10,000 gallons of fuel. And he could have made a big statement by making the speech via video and telling the people, I'd love to be there. It would be an honor to be there. One of these days when I need to be in your area, I will stop by and make it up to you when it's efficient. But being that it's Earth Day, I decided it would mean more, it would make more of a statement to make my speech from right here in the Oval Office. And maybe you have him out there in a garden, in a self-sustaining garden in the White House. Something like that. Make a real statement. But no. Politician is a politician is a politician is a politician. And when you're talking about a politician from the left, you're talking about the most hypocrisy you're ever going to find. Anywhere. Burns 9,000 gallons of fuel on Earth Day. And by the way, that's not even taking into account the Beast and all the rest of the sedans and SUVs and cop cars. All of the big, huge carbon footprint, the carbon dump that he took and left behind in Des Moines yesterday. 9,000 gallons of fuel on Earth Day. Where are the comments? Where are they? Where's the comments from the left? Where was the protest from Greenpeace and the rest of them? Where was the protest and the gatherings of people in calamitous outrage at where was Al Gore talking about up there up on his plane flying 9,000 miles to Des Moines to make a speech? Our cliffs are falling, our bears are choking on the shards of ice that are falling from the glaciers, and we're dying. Gotta be goddamn kidding me. 9,000 miles on Earth Day. 9,000 miles. 9,000 gallons of fuel on Earth Day. Yep. That's that. We're going to be coming back in just a few moments with Alan Katz, author, lecturer, expert on Middle East affairs, especially Israel. We're going to talk a little bit about Iran and Palestine and some of the comings and goings and doings on comings and goings. I'm sorry, of the Obama administration. My brain just crashed. My brain's a PC. It froze. Anyway, so give me about just a handful of seconds here. Let me just get some things straight, and we'll be talking to Alan Katz in a few minutes. It's me, TJ.
You're listening to the world of TJ McCormick with your funny host, TJ McCormick, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Let me fly in the face of all your
Making leaps and bounds, but never getting very far. It's a matter of course, and it's a fact of life. The smarter we get, the more stupid we are. Conveying the message, nobody cares. Wouldn't mind getting some peace and quiet. So hang a sign that says closed for repairs. Then as a start, let imagination run riot. Streets paved with gold. Let me float ideas to entertain. Let me fly in the face of all your told. And we'll see if we'll be right as rain. Now most get by, do no more than necessary. Marked by indifference, adopt the usual line. Zip out of their depths to offer social commentary, saying, I see the problem, but who made it mine? This will go on until our faith is restored. There's a lot of work to do just to tie up loose ends. How about we go back to the drawing board? Try our hand and let's square the circle, my friend.
TJ McCormick with your funny host, TJ McCormick, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And we are joined right now by our Middle East expert, regular contributor to the show. I am very, very happy to have Mr. Katz with us. Hello, Alan. How are you, sir?
Oh, TJ, so happy to see you again.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Welcome back to the show. It's
Thank you.
I know we're always going to have really, really, really interesting, revealing conversations. I think I've had some thought processes recently regarding this administration and Israel, terrorism, just everything. Homeland security-ish and foreign policy recently. One of the little sort of pictures I painted in the first part of my show today, I opened up a little bit of a monologue about taking individual moments in these first 100 days and treating them almost like a little bead. And with time, we can make a necklace, if you will, and mm-hmm. and we can we collect these beads, we string them up, and that's sort of a necklace, whatever. Ends up being a trinket that is our foreign policy, and some of these little moments that have been occurring, like you and I have already talked about, the first phone call of the administration was to, once again, who was that again?
The first phone call went to Mahmoud Abbas.
Yes, Mahmoud Abbas, the first phone call of the administration. And actually, even before he took office, we can include on this necklace his preemptive shots way back during the campaign, talking about being willing to sit down with an Ahmadinejad, the rest of the usual suspects in the Middle East. So there's the phone call, the bow to the Saudi prince, the glad handing with all these things. I think ultimately there are things that happen. They happen in a news cycle. They cause a little bit of a flutter, and then they go away because that's the way the media choreographs it. But guys like you, I would imagine, see a pattern developing.
Absolutely.
How does this stuff strike you? How does it sit with you?
We've seen the pattern building, as you said, since even before the inauguration, during the campaign.
Yes.
And the pattern has been decisively to turn America's diplomatic attention and our foreign policy in the direction of the Arabs and the Muslim world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is being done at the cost of the relationship that the United States has with Israel.
Yeah.
And that's what's so disturbing, because they can't make, you know, they can't buddy up to Iran and Syria and Lebanon unless they cut Israel loose.
Yeah.
And that still remains one of the conditions that Ahmadinejad has laid forth to have discussions with the United States. Mm-hmm. He says you've got to get all your troops out of the region, and you got to cut your ties with Israel.
Right.
And then we'll talk to you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, these preconditions, these lovely little little ancillary things around the, how do you, now here's, oh, and by the way, everybody, I just want to make sure everybody knows also that aside from being an attorney and a lecturer, an all-around expert on Israel and the Middle East, Alan Katz is also an author, and the book, For the Record, Israel and the Palestinians, What the Media Aren't Telling You, is available at, we always go through all the names, where you can get a book, that's where you can get that book. Amazon, Borders, Barnes & Noble, as well as your local brick-and-mortar stores, et cetera, et cetera. For the Record,
absolutely.
Israel and the Palestinians. When you see, it's one thing, the obvious stuff with Ahmadinejad, the phone calls, all these lousy choices, and I think overt gestures. That's one thing. When it's easy to connect the dots within the Middle East. When those of us who pay attention to the news, and I think more and more people are paying attention to the news these days, when they see this little mini soap opera developed last weekend with Hugo Chavez, I don't see that as simply a South America thing. I see that as a pattern that's developing that is something to be kept an eye on, because if he's going to glad hand, well, I'll let you take it. What do you think when you see him palling around and arms around a despot like a dictator like Chavez?
He's sucking up to the Arabs, the Muslims, and particularly in that instance, the oil exporting countries.
Yes.
The Venezuelans have been particularly hostile, mm-hmm. Not just to Israel, but to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And to see him go over to Chavez and shake his hand and smile and, you know, do the photo ops,
mm-hmm.
Makes me feel that he is wasting valuable diplomatic coinage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
If he's going to do, as we suspect he's going to do, this kumbaya diplomacy, you know, then there's, you know, no limit to how much we can give away.
Right.
And right now, insofar as the Arabs are concerned, what the United States is going to have to give away is the relationship with Israel.
Mm.
Not completely, but significantly.
Let me ask you this. This is a little bit ahead of my time, so I think I need to ask somebody like you, because I was aware of the Cold War. I wasn't quite a duck and cover kid. I was born in 68. So, you know, I grew up in the 70s knowing about the evil that was the Soviet Union. I remember vividly, Alan, seeing news coverage of Russian Jews actually being, you know, coming off the El Al flights and the Aeroflot flights in Tel Aviv. I remember seeing images and my mom and dad explaining to me what the big deal was. But maybe you can enlighten me a little bit. Obviously, the Soviet Union is no friend of Israel. How much of a foe are they to Israel, if you get my drift?
The problem with Russia is that Putin is an old KGB type.
Right.
All right. He is not from the mold of Gorbachev. Mm-hmm. He is from the mold of Brezhnev.
Uh-huh.
And the Soviets seem to delight in sticking their finger in everybody's eye, mm-hmm. doing whatever they can to stir up trouble.
Yeah.
The deal that they have with the Iranians and the nuclear plants that are being built and the sale of nuclear material mm-hmm. for enrichment,
mm-hmm.
I don't believe that that's strictly a financial transaction.
Right.
I think they are trying to get their big toe in the Middle East again,
mm-hmm.
and they are willing to contribute as much as they can to Iran's goal of hegemony in the region.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the hegemon in the Middle East is Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pushing all the buttons that they can, and they've mm-hmm. got a lot of buttons to push.
Right.
They've got Syria. They've got Lebanon to the north. They've got the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good situation.
Right.
And they're pushing it as hard as they can. Now, Ahmadinejad has said that he's willing to sit down with our president
mm-hmm.
and discuss the nuclear issue.
Yeah.
But our position had always been that we will not sit down with the Iranians until they stop processing uranium for enrichment.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Obama administration has said that's off the table.
Mm.
You don't have to stop processing. Maybe just slow down a little.
Right.
Bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? Make it look good. Let's make some people happy over here.
Window dressing.
Yeah, exactly. Little lip service, little window dressing. Exactly.
And as the European three, Germany, France, and England, found out, 20 years of negotiating with the Iranians gets you absolutely nowhere.
Gets you bupkis. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's almost like the Gong Show.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. It's the ultimate window dressing, and it, except in the end, you got entire nations being played for fools. And It is. See, when I kind of equate looking at this foreign policy and trying to keep an eye on where this administration's going as we're learning them and seeing them in action. It's kind of like watching it's kind of like spinning plates on the Ed Sullivan Show. You know, you keep your eye on the Pan Pacific situation. You keep your eye, with North Korea and you keep your eye on South America in this hemisphere with the Daniel Ortegas and the Hugo Chavez's and the Castro brothers and all the while, because it's all starting to cross over. Here's there's Russia doing war games with the Venezuelan Navy right in our own backyard. I mean, I've worked cruise lines, okay? You jump on a cruise ship in Puerto Rico and you're right there by the Venezuelan coast. I mean, I've actually been in Venezuela, I mean, this is really, in the 60s technology, we were concerned about missiles in Cuba. You know, this is 2009. Venezuela might as well be Cuba,
Well, given as much time as it would take for missiles to leave Venezuela and come to the United States, that's a very real concern.
Yeah.
Right now, we've got a situation in Eastern Europe where we're trying to set up defensive missile systems to protect Europe mm-hmm. in the event of a missile launch from Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And the Russians are taking that as an offensive gesture.
Right.
And
right.
They're saying, you can't put missiles on our border again.
Right.
Any more than, we liked it back in 1963
uh-huh.
or 62.
Right.
So there has been talk now of reestablishing missile bases in Cuba and certainly in Venezuela.
Mm.
And as you know, Cuba's 90 minutes away from the mainland.
Yeah. And what is our president talking about while all this is going on, and also, amazingly, the day that North Korea tests its rocket capable of hitting Alaska or Hawaii, what is our guy talking about? This administration, I tell you what, Alan, this this administration went so far to the left so fast, and I, what's he doing? Is he's talking about disarmament? He's talking about starting new strategic talks with Russia. to disarm, and talking about us leading the way in that effort.
He just doesn't get it.
He doesn't get it. And I tell you, what gave me peace at one point, Alan, what I thought was, one of the things is I said, you know, I'm not going to be one of those whiny, I'm not going to be a whiny righty like the annoying whiny lefties have been for the last 8 years. I'm not, first of all, you're never going to hear me say he's not my president. I'm better than that. I'm never going
to, right.
I'm never going to say that. That to me, even if I'm just being literal, even if I'm just playing a game of semantics, he's my president. And I just find it to be un-American to say somebody's not my, he's mine, lump, like him or love him or lump him, he's my president.
Correct.
But I'm also going to be better than them, and I'm not going to whine. And one of the things that told me, well, you know what, it may not be so bad, because when he started, originally a red flag went up when this cabinet and administration was being just jammed full of Clinton-era people. First, that gave me pause, and then it gave me a little bit of comfort thinking, well, wait, now, they were there when they tried to ram Hillary care down our throat and gays in the military and all this stuff, and that brought about the Republican Revolution. And I said, you know what? They were there, and so maybe we're going to get a little – maybe we will get some centrist governance here. Maybe we – boy, was I wrong. Boy, Alan, it's more like not – now. So in other words, they didn't learn a lesson, and they're going to hold off. If anything, they're thinking, we got the House and the Senate. We got all this – we got public – we're going to shove it in their faces, and we're gonna damn the torpedoes full speed ahead.
That's right. They're going to spend all the political capital that they gained in the 2008 election.
Yes.
But they should be careful, because there are midterm elections every 2 years.
Yep.
And this Congress continues to pour money into the hands of organizations like AIG.
Yeah.
And do any one of the dozen other things that they're doing wrong in foreign policy, you're going to see a change in control of possibly the Senate, but certainly the House of Representatives.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. It's one of these things where, you know, it's like you said, you know, the it's every 2 years they've got to keep on it, and that's what happened with the. You mentioned the political.
Political capital?
Yes, political capital. Here's the thing, like you said, though, they better be careful, because you know what? That political capital was about 8 million votes. That was about 8 million votes that separated these two. This was not a Reagan-esque 49-1. And
right.
and so that's what's interesting is that you and I both know, yes, it's political. Look, winning the election is political capital. And the other political capital also, I believe, resides in the man's ethnicity. He's got political capital that he was born with. The fact that that he's the media darling and he's got a unique kind of political capital that is not reflected merely in votes. Because if it was merely votes, there's only 8 million of them that's separated out of, you know, a couple of hundred million. Or about 100 million votes cast. So, yes, you're right. I believe he better be careful. But the battle that you and I and other like-minded people are fighting is the army we're fighting is the media. The way the media is reporting this guy is exactly what I feared. He's been given. And you know what? Actually, let's take a moment here, and I want to ask you about Janet Napolitano. An interesting question was raised today by one of the stories that Matt Drudge covered. How did she get her job? Where did this one come from? Obviously Arizona. How in the hell did she get her? How in the hell did she get her job? How many times is she going to be able to put a foot in her mouth, Alan Katz, before she is finally shown the door? Please let it be next week.
All she has to do is keep talking.
Yeah. Please, Janet, keep talking. Keep that
right.
mouth open.
Just give her the microphone. That's all.
She's something else, ain't she? A peach.
She is.
It's amazing.
And she reminds me of James Watt.
Yep.
The former Secretary of the Interior.
Yeah.
Who made it a hobby of shooting himself in the foot.
Yeah. Oh, between.
And the danger to that was that he always had his foot in his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Between this one and Biden, and I tell you what, his press secretary is no Boy, oh boy, his press secretary is no wordsmith either. He's really, I'm surprised at some of the lack of polish being shown here.
Well, a lot of it has to do with what the credentials are, and the credentials aren't necessarily intelligence.
Right.
A lot of it has to do with where they sit on a political spectrum.
Yeah, money raised, dollars and cents has a lot to do with it, too. Influence.
There are a lot of people that got into his administration on the basis of where they sat in the political spectrum and without regard to what the downside was to their appointments.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, oh.
In a number of areas.
Oh, yeah. And I tell you what, Alan, this is also my little thing. This is my little theory here. And I'll only keep you for another 60 seconds or so. I'll let you get back to your day. Once again, everybody, talking to Alan Katz, author of For the Record, the Israel and the Palestinians, What the Media Aren't Telling You. And that media is always a theme when Alan and I discuss things. For the Record, Israel and the Palestinians, What the Media Aren't Telling You, available everywhere books are sold. My little thing is this, is, you know, and what you just said there about these appointments, I will, of course, capitulate to if any lefties were here in the room, they'd be beaten down the door saying, but that goes for every administration. And it's true. Yes, these are political appointments. There's money involved. There's influence. Yes, of course. We all acknowledge that. But this has been a real special case of, oh, my God, because when you've got, you know, when a tax cheat is ruling the roost at Treasury, and there's other tax cheats. I believe Napolitano was a tax cheat as well. Here's the
but
thing.
Just think of how much money Obama is gaining the government by making these appointments of people who have to cough up money for taxes.
It's true. In penalties and interest alone, he's
going to balance the budget with his appointment.
Because we're going to be on. Oh, that's funny. That's really funny. Here's my thing is that where Bush had his oil men, okay, and everybody loved to talk about all of his cronies and Halliburton and oil and this and that and big oil and blah, blah, blah. I think one of the things that's going to be the bane of this administration is just how many from the financial world and how many senators and congresspeople on the left who are currently serving on, you know, the Charlie Rangels, et cetera, who are serving on tax committees and stuff. And I think one of the albatrosses around the neck of this administration is all the people who have dirty hands from the financial collapse, people who made millions in the world of Rahm Emanuel himself, who are part of this administration and part of this restructuring, conflicts of interest revolving directly attached to the financial world, where Bush had dealings with the oil world. And I think this one stinks a lot more.
You can't appoint people to higher office in this country who do not have connections to the financial world, to the corporate world, and to people who are always advancing a point of view on the Hill.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just not possible because you've got to have people who are supposed to be sophisticated enough to deal with the Washington group of... Yeah. Mindset.
Right, exactly. That beltway.
They have to be comfortable at the seat of government.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And
the problem is finding the ones who have all that experience, but don't have skeletons in their closet.
Exactly. Exactly. And then also, it's when they're acting holier than thou that those skeletons become really, really, really big, scary Halloween-type skeletons, and that's what's going on here. I am stunned and amazed. I am literally blown away. As much as I know and expect of the media, isn't it amazing that Geithner has gotten as far as... I mean, it's just absolutely a mind blower to me, and it doesn't take much to blow my mind these days. Or rather, they've been given a
get out of jail card.
Yeah,
and it looks like it's going to be good for at least 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be one of the longest honeymoons we've ever seen.
Yeah, listen, Alan Katz, author of For the Record, Israel and the Palestinians: What the Media Aren't Telling You, available everywhere they sell books. Off the top of your head, in a 30-second nutshell, what is it that you're looking for next? What's the next movement that you see? What's on the horizon? What do you think that where's your red flag right now where it comes to foreign policy? Policy, the Middle East. What are you looking at right now?
In a word, appeasement.
Ah.
We're seeing it already in London and in France and in Norway, and working its way across the continent. Mm. And this is the most frightening part of it.
Wow.
That people, the governments are simply willing to let something like this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see it, I'm reminded of something that Winston Churchill said.
Yes.
That he said, "The middle road taken out of a desire for safety and a quiet life lead direct to the bullseye of disaster."
I tell you what, when you said the word, when you said appeasement, of course, when I hear appeasement, my mind goes to Hitler. My mind in a modern day goes to an Ahmadinejad who, if he had his druthers, would love to emulate Hitler. He has the same bloodthirst for Jews as Hitler. And when I think about appeasement, I think about the what ended up being the creation of Israel because of appeasement and appeasing that animal 60, 70 years ago. And I see your appeasement, and I raise you my word, anti-Semitism, which is becoming more and more acceptable these days, and the media is not helping.
Absolutely.
So that to me is a perfect storm. So we will talk again, Alan Katz. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely, pal. Anytime. And once again, For the Record, Israel and the Palestinians, What the Media Aren't Telling You. Alan Katz's book, available anywhere books are sold. Have a great weekend after tomorrow. Have a great weekend, Alan.
Thank you. You too, teacher.
Take care, pal. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There goes Alan Katz, a good friend of the show, and I love having him on. A real intelligent conversation you can have with that guy, and we just did. Wow, I tell you what, I'm a funny guy, but I'm a serious guy. You know what I'm saying? Hey, it's me, TJ, talking to you the world every single day right here on LATalkRadio.com, Channel 2. Stay tuned if you're so inclined, and I think you should be. If you have any inclinations at all, you should be inclined to stick around for Johnny Damage and Damage Report. You fall in love with the First Amendment all over again right here on LATalkRadio.com. Also, Channel 1, we are two faces on the Mount Rushmore of LA Talk Radio. Pillars, if you will, upon which this empire has been built. I will return more than likely tomorrow. Maybe taking tomorrow off. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Might be doing that. In the meantime, have yourself a wonderful rest of the evening. I will be in touch. Find me on Facebook and add me as a friend if you wish. And if you don't, well, screw you. Hey, see you tomorrow. Peace. Bye.